We're so happy that we have it. We ask that you bless the message that's shared this morning so that it be not only hearing, but listening to and understanding to where we can put it in action and be like you want us to be. Ask this all through Christ. Good morning. Notes here. Okay, so today I'd like to continue the message. We're studying Romans chapter 12. Steve last week started off the chapter and did the first eight verses. The first eight verses kind of told us more about how we're all different parts that make up body together, but we should all have one mind. And it's interesting. It reminds me of a time when I was with another brother. We were out. We like to go out together and witness to people. And we go, so we spend a lot of time in the car. And I remember this instance where we were chatting back and forth. We just kind of looked at each other and not everybody's the same as us. And that's so true because everybody's different. Everybody has their own purpose. Yeah, there's some people out there that are good at giving speeches. There's other people out there who are good at caring for the sick. The elders are good at overseeing and making sure that they have characteristics. But when we get into verses 9 through 21 of chapter 12 of Romans, it goes a little bit deep. And it looks at the Christian and the love that God has for us, the love that we should show to each other and to the world. So let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 9. And I read several different translations, and I'm going to kind of stick to the English Standard Version. I feel like the words pretty much match up with the vocabulary of some of the verses that tends to be written. So, verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right. Let's see slides here. So I've broken it down. One of the great things I like to do, and we should all be prepared that we are talking to other people. If maybe a question is presented to us for reasoning behind something. And I like to use the Bible to be able to back up what is being said. It's not my opinion, it's the word of God. And it shows up in his word in several different places. And so I'd like to present those places to you as we go through Romans chapter 4. So, the first verse, chapter verse 9, is let love be be genuine, sincere, not hypocritical. So, what does that mean? Well, if something's genuine, it's caring, it's kind, it's not forced. If something's hypocritical, it's acted upon. And maybe you say, I love you, but you don't show how you one example is, you know, when we moved here to the South, we get invited to dinner a lot. It's like, yeah, you should come to dinner with us. Okay. What time should that be? And then it goes blank. So that's a hypocritical type of thing. So when we want it to be genuine, a lot of times it's within who's showing. And one example is, you know, for example, Ben's parents. Ben's parents, they are not very affectionate. So their love is broadcasted to the people that they know, their family, by showing, by cooking, by making sure that you're fed. And that's their way of showing you love. You will never hear them say, I love you. Never. They just don't do it. It was very awkward when our families met, and they, I don't think they ever gave a hug before in life. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how they showed love was different. So the different cultures play into this as well. But you can tell when someone's being genuine and someone's. And so our love is to be genuine. We are also told to hate evil. So a good verse is in Psalm chapter 97, verse 10. It says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. And simple. And so God has chosen us, or has shown us to be good and to flee from evil. And he tells us over and over. And 1 Timothy does a good job too. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, now the purpose of the commandment is love, a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And so once again, it develops into what love should look like. And so we're to avoid evil and to go through the good. And it reminds me too, we've been doing a lot of traveling, as I shared before. We went to Bermuda. We also went out west, had a conference out in Vegas. Sin City, they call it. And they're probably right on. It's very hard to breathe because the smell of weed is very strong. A lot of people there that are doped out and homeless, a lot of people run down by sin. But we are taught to hate sin, but not the sinner. Okay? So I know there's a lot of people that certain types of sin bother more than others, but we are to love the sinner, to hate the sin. And by doing that, that shows our true love for that person too. Later in this chapter, we'll see that. Is that if you, so for example, if you don't tell someone the truth because you don't hurt their feelings, because it doesn't align with the way that they're feeling or the way that they're thinking, then that's not true love. Because eternity is a lot longer than life. I'll give you an example. We have some friends, and their son has gotten into a confused position. And he thinks he's a And that was very hard on our friends who are Christians. You know, if you have a son that thinks he's a woman, it's kind of a difficult situation because you're trying to fit in. The truth is that we have to stick to what the Word of God says, and he needs a Savior to save him. And since that point, he's gone down a path where he's going into a different religion, Muslim, and it's not good. So pray for that situation. Pray for people that you might know that fight the same sin, because we have an answer. We have a solution. Jesus already paid it. He paid it all. And so that's where we as believers and knowers of the truth can share that and let the Holy Spirit work within us. Okay, verse 10. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. So this is, once again, talking about the, you know, brotherly affection, brothers, sisters of Christ. As believers, we are children of God, and therefore brothers and sisters because of Christ. And so we are taught to love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, love one another. But another verse that I like that I didn't really care for early on, because I was one of those people myself where showing love was very hard. And there's people out there that will tell a stranger I'm, and that's just not how I was raised. And so when some random person, maybe you barely know, says, I love you, but if we turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, First John chapter 4, last verse of the chapter. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God is also the one. So that smacked me right in the face when I was studying this chapter. Like, well, I need to love my brothers and sisters. If I love God, I need to love my brothers and sisters. And so, what a great verse to remind us that we're in this together and here for each other. But we should also outdo each other in honor. Honor meaning high respect for each other. So we don't have a sense of hierarchy within the brothers. It says to not overlook the lowly. Instead of that, we can see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, but ability have others that are significant. What a great verse. Let's continue on to verse 11. Verse 11 reads, do not be thoughtful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. King James translation says diligence. I like that word a little bit better. Be diligent, persistent, what it means. Not slacking in zeal, and be fervent in spirit. You know what fervent means? Fervent. Fire. It means intensely passionate. Be intensely passionate in spirit. Now, we all know somebody who's passionate about something. We all know someone who's intense about something, too. So my question for you all and myself is, am I passionately intent or intense in spirit? And sadly, I have to say no. And so that's something that I need to work on. But it's something that the Lord has shared with us, and I think it's right on with. We are to serve the Lord as well. Question is, how do you serve the Lord? Several ways. Psalm chapter 2 says we should serve the Lord with fear. Psalm chapter 100 says we should serve the Lord with gladness. We also have an example of how Martha served the Lord as well. So the Bible has several ways that shows us how we should serve the Lord. And there's not just one great answer. I also like the example that's found in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, it kind of goes through that period of time where they were freed from Egypt, and they were used to serving the fake gods, and they were told to serve the living God. Verse 14 says, fear the Lord and serve in sincerity and in faithfulness. And if you skip a few verses, in 18 it says, therefore we also will serve the Lord. He is our God. Amazing. So, in here there was a little conversation of one who is, who's the real God. Going from several years of worshiping faithfully to knowing the real God, just seeing the power that the real God has. But still, servant. So we can see that in Joshua. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant. Prayer. So if I ask you for your hope, hope is something that could occur in the future. Do you have an answer? What's the reason for your hope? And I can give you one example. We can see in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, says that our names will be written in heaven. So that's in the future. We know that when we die, we're in heaven. I am hopeful that when I die, I will go to heaven. I am also hopeful that when Jesus returns, I will be with him. That is my hope. And if you talk to different people, different religions, they're like, how dare you say that you're going to heaven? You're not worthy to go to heaven. But when God looks down, what does he see? My sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees his perfection. And it's such a beautiful thing to have. And there's other verses. If you go into 1 John chapter 5, you'll see that you may know that you're going to heaven. K-N-O. You may know it. So, if someone ever asks you, how do you know if you're going to heaven? You have scripture. patience. Now, God never said that when you get saved, things are going to be easy, right? Things are going to be just so simple for you to be able to go out and share your joy with everybody, and everyone's going to accept it, and it's going to be great because everyone's going to believe just like you believe, and you're happy to share that. No. He says quite the opposite. He says, you will be tried. You will be tested. There will be tribulation. But they won't hate you. They hate me. And he also says that you'll be rewarded for that. Right? And so developing patience is very hard at points. And so I think that's why he also adds in here that we should be steadfast in prayer. Right? Asking for his guidance, asking for his help continually, steadfast, not stopping. And Luke has a good parable. I don't know if you remember. It's one that's not mentioned very often, but it's the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. You remember that one in Luke? It's chapter 18. But there's this judge that didn't fear God, and he wasn't judging justly, and he didn't care about it. And there's this widow who was concerned and kept praying. It's like, can he be just about this? And then people be treated how they should be treated. And finally, God heard her prayers and answered her prayers. And so we see that in Luke chapter 18. But what's interesting is when you get to verses 7 and 8, it wraps back around and it says, when he returns, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? That's pretty stout. And I know we all want things to get better in this world, and I spoke about peace within the world, but things are going to get worse. Even the Christian won't. He'll be lacking in faith by the time he comes. He tells us he's coming soon. Could be today. It's already been a couple thousand years. Today, a day for God is like 1,000 years. It's been a couple days. So he's coming soon. But will he find the faith on the earth? And that's why we have to build up strong. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to encourage each other. We need to lift up each other as the body. Okay, verse 13. Two parts of verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. One of the translations says contribute. Another one says distribute. Two different words, but both very effective within the verse. So if we are talking about the sharing of the needs of the brothers and sisters, number one, we have to ask ourselves, are we contributing to the needs of the assembly? Number two, we have to ask ourselves, are we distributing? Is one person doing it all? Why is that one person doing it all? Then I'm going to distribute the pets, not trust the younger generation, older generation. So we need to help out. And one example is with our family, I put the boys to work. You know, when it's fall time and we have a lot of big trees and they drop a lot of leaves, guess what? Everybody's doing it. Job gets done faster, better, and then we have time again to spend. And what's funny is there's like a lot of people down the street. Yeah, we're all working together. Just as we should here. Hospitality. Thank the folks in our assembly here that have had us over to their house, their hospital. Had us over for dinner or just had a good sharing time within there. So thank everybody for that. Verse 14. This, I think, for a lot of people is tough. Bless, not curse. It kind of leads back to the patience part. We should have patience. But, you know, when someone crosses three lanes of traffic real quick, just the exits, and you have to slam on your brakes, are you blessing them or are you cursing them? Luke chapter 6 says, love your enemies, bless them. Right. And another thing when we move to the south that I heard a bit is, oh, blesses. Are they really saying blesses? Are they saying the person dead in them? So I think we need to have a mindset change. You know, Glenn and I were talking at the break, and he had good points. And I actually had it written down here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 48 says, and God makes the sun rise on the evil men. If you only greet brothers, what more are you doing? So, you know, I know a lot of people can get jealous over someone who's not saved, doesn't have a successful life. And why is God blessing them and not blessing me? And whatever the example might be, God makes sunshine. And he's in control. And whoever complains on one side is going to have an answer for another. You know, we can see that throughout the examples he gives us in the Bible, too. The examples and parables that he's given us. Verse 15. Rejoice. Weep. Yeah. These are two very different reasons. I think we care about each other and concerned about each other's health and weeping side, we can relate to and comfort those if we have empathy for. But are we doing the rejoicing? We have a lot of reason to rejoice. If we have someone get baptized and they are saved and they get baptized, we should rejoice. We are one soul closer to the body being completed in Christ coming for us. We should rejoice. If someone dies, we should rejoice that the pain is gone and they are with Jesus. Right? So I think this is an area where sometimes we just overlook. Verse 16 relates back to the first part of the chapter. Have the same mind, the same direction, live in harmony. Be haughty. Don't be full of yourself. Humble yourself. So, verse 16, is the same thing as Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. It's the exact same verse. He's told us twice. But we should also be in the same group. We see that in Philippians. We should have the same. Verse 17. Be revengeful. Do what is honorable. As my boys like to say, he did it first. He did it first. No, that's not what God's teaching us. He says you should turn the other cheek, get slapped on the wall, turn the other cheek. And take advantage of you. Don't be revengeful. You're peaceful. Be quiet about it. They're going to want to change. Or they're not going to have fun doing evil for evil. That's what's honorable. Verse 18. I mentioned that we should all live peaceably. We should live peaceably with all. You know, I had a client that just got back from Istanbul, and she visited this church that was weather. It was a church in the middle of nowhere. People sleep in caves out there, and the roof was off this church because it was built in like 500 BC or something. But the church had seen Christians and the messages carved on the inside of the church. And over there's a lot of Muslims, so they had religious carvings on there too. And so I wonder how peacefully they lived, but they obviously were able to live around each other. Now I'm not saying that we should substitute our faith and the word that we have for any other religion. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that honey probably gets to be quicker than swat man. And so we should be caring towards others and peaceable to others. Verse 19. Don't revenge yourselves or inflict harm on yourselves. This is an interesting verse because it leads into vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There are a lot of people out there that talk about God and how he is a loving God, which he is. But there's also the wrath of God. It was the wrath of God that was laid out on Jesus Christ. It's the wrath of God that will be laid out on those who choose not to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so there's a wrath of God. And here he's explaining in verse 19 and 20 and 21 that we are to give those people who aren't believers the word, the truth, and not fight back, not argue with them. But we are to use that as our offense because if they choose not to accept that, then that's where, as he says, a heap of truth will go on their head. And so they will get repaid for what is repaid. And this part is not literal. They're not saying, hey, your enemies out there, feed them, He's talking about the word. Give them the food of the word. If they're thirsty for it. And we remember Samaritan. And well, they talked about you're gathering water, I can give you water that you thirst a little. And so you've got that. And then we see it best in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives Holy Spirit. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It just wraps back into how the chapter started, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. But it looks like I am out of time. You guys are looking at me. So I will leave you with one last verse. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It does a good job summarizing this passage. It says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. Let's close it. Heavenly Father, we thank you this time this morning. What a great joy to be able to have guidance around how we as Christians and believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we should be able to show our love and help one another as you are building your bride, as you're building your church, and we are representing ourselves for you. And the world should look upon us and see the difference. And so we thank you for your guidance here. We ask that you bless us as we depart this morning and continue to thrive for you. We ask all this through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.